All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. We're in Mark 11 and verse 20. All the way down to verse 26. 11 verses 20 all the way down to verse 26. Reading from the New King James, it says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' And so Jesus answered and said to him, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" Verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." It's been a delight to go through the series here in the book of Mark and trying to figure out and capture the heart of the Lord Jesus and seeing what he does and how he does it, because that's how we become changed. That's how we're transformed, by looking into the very character and nature of Jesus. And here in this particular segment in our text, he is in the final week. This is the final week of our Lord. He's entered Jerusalem. He's already been hailed as the Messiah. He has cleared and cleansed the temple. And so now he just cursed the fig tree, and it's withered at the root there near the temple. And now they're approaching that particular area again, Jesus and the disciples. And Peter says to him, "Lord, the tree that you cursed has withered at the root and died." He's not far from the cross. He's days away from the cross. And any important lesson that he would want to give would be given at this time. If you're just a couple of days away from the cross, whatever last minute instructions you're about to give, you want to give them right at this particular moment. And maybe you want to teach on how to be a good and effective minister. Maybe you want to teach on how to prepare a good sermon. Somebody say, "Help them, Lord." Maybe you want to teach your disciples on how to cast out demons and heal the sick. And you want to teach your disciples these important lessons on how to be effective in ministry. But instead, he's ready to teach them about having faith. Having faith was the very, very beginning, and having faith here at the very end, and having faith was all throughout his 3+ years of ministry, because that's one of the foundations of our Christianity, faith. We know we have faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, but faith is a foundation. And faith is basically confidence or trust in someone or something to rely on, to have confidence in. When I say to you, have faith in God, I'm saying to you, rely on, place your full weight, your full trust in someone. And choosing to believe what Jesus said, not because he is just physically there at the moment, but because he said it, and because he is worthy, and because he is trustworthy. Whatever he says, we can trust, because he does not lie. And soon faith is all that the disciples will have. That's all they really have to hold on to, because soon he'll be leaving them. Soon he'll be suspended between heaven and earth. Soon he will be out of sight for them, and they'll have nothing else but that. Faith in God is all they'll have when persecution hits the church from all directions. Faith is all they'll have when James, one of the top three guys, is now beheaded after having been imprisoned. Peter is next in line. Faith is all they'll have. And faith is all they'll have when the crazy man named Saul of Tarsus is after them, and he's killing Christians and imprisoning those he cannot kill left and right. Faith is all they'll have. There's not much else that they have to hold on to. Faith. 1 John 5 and 4 says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." This is the victory that has overcome the world. But this text here is not about a secret formula about how to get things, where it talks about have faith in God, and whatever you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, if you believe in your heart and do not doubt, it will be done for you. It's not talking about putting a secret formula of words, being creative with your words in a spiritual sense so that you can get whatever you want. That's not what this text is communicating to us. In context, he's telling us the secret of how to live so that you would not be cursed. Remember, it's tied into the fig tree element. He's telling them, "I don't want you to be cursed." Why? Because the Jewish nation was cursed because they had lost their faith in God. Do you mean we can be believers and still live under that same kind of curse? Oh, I don't mean a curse by going to see any kind of witch doctor or voodoo doctor or whatever kind of curse. No, I'm talking about not living under the full blessing of God. And so by default, if I'm not under the blessing of God, then what am I under? There is no middle ground. I'm either walking with God or I'm not walking with God at all. I'm either under the blessing and guidance and direction of God, or I'm under something completely on the opposite. There is no middle ground in life. We'd like to think there's middle ground. There is no middle ground. You're either with or you are not. The Jewish nation had lost their faith in God. And so this life of God, which was in them, had dried up and withered at the very roots. And that's what Jesus is talking to them about. So with your permission, I'd like to speak to you about three things this morning. First of all, the object of faith, then the opportunity of faith, and then the obstacle of faith. Object of faith, opportunity of faith, and obstacle of faith. Let's begin with the object of faith. The object of faith can be nothing less than God himself. When he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The person of God is where our faith must begin. He's the foundation of all goodness and all truth, and he is where our faith is to be. And some have faith in themselves. Some go around life having faith in themselves, their own abilities, their own strength, their own understanding, this I can do it attitude. But you know, the truth is we are frail. And the truth is we fail. And the truth is we're not consistent. And the truth is, we're weak because we're human. This is the truth. We tend to give up. And trusting in ourselves is definitely not what the Bible calls biblical faith. That is not trusting in yourself. It was April of 1988, and the evening news reported a photographer who was a skydiver, and he jumped from a plane along with numerous other skydivers and filmed the group as they fell and opened their parachutes. And on the film, showed on the telecast, as the final skydiver opened his chute, the picture went berserk. The announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death, having jumped out of the plane without his parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that he realized his free falling without his parachute. He thought everything was okay because he was going with the flow of everyone else. He thought he had everything. He had faith in himself. He had faith in his own abilities. He had faith in his own wisdom, faith in his own strength. But when the time came to pull the ripcord, there was nothing there. And people go through life thinking they've got it all together. I'm just going to do like everyone else and pull the ripcord and be safe, when the truth and reality is they have no genuine faith to bring them to safety, and they'll realize it is then too late and no one can save at that particular point. We cannot trust in ourselves. Listen, others not just have faith in themselves, but they have something called faith in faith. Faith in what? I place my faith in something called faith. In their own ability to believe. Looking inward for strength, that is also misguided, and that is not biblical. Warren Wiersbe, if you've heard that name, says this. He says, if you pray hard and long enough and really believe, then God is obligated to answer your prayer no matter what you ask. He's being sarcastic. And then he says, then that kind of faith is not faith in God. Rather, it's nothing but faith in faith or faith in feeling. That doesn't work either. We're talking about putting your full weight, your full faith in God himself, and nothing other than God himself. Have faith in God means that is the way that I am to live, placing my full weight upon him. This is the way that I'm to have full life and rich meaning, to trust that the living God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. Just look at the intricacy of the space that's around us. How everything works in perfect harmony. Look at your own physical body, how everything works in perfect harmony. How the body's able to even heal itself when it's sick. Everything that God does with its perfect intricacy and harmony, God knows what he's doing. He can be trusted with our lives to believe what he says, and to obey his commands, and to open our lives to him. Why? Well, because God's a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. When I wander away, he's guiding me back to him. And the reason why I'm here, the reason why you're here today, is because the Good Shepherd has had his hand upon your life. I'm not here, you're not here because we're good people. I would love to tell you that you're good people, but you're not. You're not good people. I'm not good people either. We're all sinners. We're all rotten, dirty, filthy sinners. We stand here today because of something called God's grace. unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. He just wants to have mercy on us. This is the kind of God, excuse me, that we serve. But He is also our rock. He is our strength and He is our foundation. We can cast all of our cares upon Him because the Bible says He cares for us. You guys can talk to me this morning. It's okay. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He is that rock. But God is also our peace. I trust in Him because He is my peace in the middle of a storm when things are going crazy, when things are going berserk, when things are going absolutely nuts and I have no idea what's going on or why it's happening. I can learn to trust in Him and place my faith in Him because He is the Prince of Peace. But finally, because God is a loving Father who wants the best for His children. A loving, tender Father. Not many examples of that in the world. We do have a few, but not very many. But He's a loving, tender Father who just wants the best for His children. So I can place my faith and my weight completely on Him. We're to trust in Him and in nothing else. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for what? For the opportunity. Point number two. For the opportunity of what? Listen, our life is a journey and not a destination. Our life is a what? It's a journey. It's not a destination. Sometimes I think when I finally attain this, I'm just waiting for this. I remember when I was younger, I'm waiting until I turn 16 so I can drive and get out this house. I was waiting till I can drive. And then it was 18. Why? So I can do some other things that I couldn't do before. And then I was waiting till I was 21. Why? So I can go to Vegas legally this time. What? Is it okay? Waiting for certain things to happen. And then I was waiting until I got married. And then I was waiting until we had children. Then I was waiting until we bought our first home. And then I keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm waiting for something to happen. I'm realizing now it's not about arriving at a place. But my whole life is a journey. It's a process. And in our journey, there's going to be mountains in my path that need to be removed. And the phrase here about mountains being removed was quite common in Jewish phrase. It's a regular, vivid phrase for moving difficulties. Removing a mountain is the equal of removing a difficulty. That's what Jesus here is referring to. Have faith in God, for I say to you, this mountain shall be removed. If you say to this mountain, be removed, it will be removed. And there's a connection between what I believe in my heart and the words that I am speaking now. Jesus is saying, have faith in God, say to that mountain. I have faith in God. I've placed my full weight and trust in Him. And now I'm speaking to the problem, to the dilemma, to the issue right in front of me. I am now speaking to that mountain. And I'm saying to it, be cast into the sea. In other words, get up and move into the ocean because you are now an obstacle to me. So there's a connection between the words that I have, that I'm speaking, and the faith that I have in my heart. Because Luke 6:45 tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? The mouth speaks. Listen to what you are saying. No, not on Sundays, because on Sundays we're all blessed. And you go to some other churches, you're blessed and highly favored. Okay. I hope so. But what are you saying throughout the week? What are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about your significant others? What are you saying about your loved ones? What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about your neighborhood? What are you saying about your church? What are you saying about your pastor? What are you saying about your pastor? We need to watch what we're saying, because what comes out of the mouth is an indication of what's been happening and brewing in my own heart. So there is a connection there. So He's saying, I want you to speak to that mountain and believe that it will be removed. Listen, Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you do what? You profess. You profess your faith that you are saved. So He's saying, I don't want you to just pray that certain obstacles in your... And we'll talk about these obstacles here in a second. I don't want you to just pray that these obstacles be removed. There are some things that you pray about, but there are other things that you specifically speak to and you command to move based on the authority of what God already said, because it's His perfect will. Amen. There are some things I don't pray about, I just communicate to. I'm going to get a little excited here this morning, so I need you to be with me. I need you to get on board and talk back to me, okay? It's okay to talk back to me in this church. Baptist Coastal Church that you are. Okay. God is giving us the authority to speak. He's giving us the authority to communicate, to speak, and to speak life over certain things. And what are some of those mountains that intimidate you, intimidate me? What can some of those mountains be? And you guys can add to this list, by the way. I don't mind. We can preach together this morning. Start off something new. I don't know. I would consider an unsaved family member to be a mountain. And how many of us have unsaved family members? Everybody. People in our lives that we know and love and hope that they make it to heaven, but even more so, we hope that they find peace and the reason for their existence here in this life. The reason why, because they're miserable. Listen, without Jesus, you're just miserable. Without Jesus, you think you're happy. Without God, you think you've got it all together. Without Jesus, some people think that they're rolling, but you're not. You are miserable and you are headed to an unsafe place. If I have an unsaved family member, I can speak to that mountain. I am speaking to that mountain, and I'm speaking life to that mountain. And I'm saying, I speak life over this person. I speak peace to this person. I speak clarity to this person. I speak that his heart of flesh or her heart of flesh would be removed and replaced with the heart of stone would be removed and replaced with a heart of flesh, meaning tenderness, meaning no longer being hard-hearted and stubborn, but being tender and sensitive to the move of God, because God is trying to communicate to them because he loves them just as he loves us. Or possibly another mountain may be depression over your financial situation. You are depressed over your financial situation, and this thing is weighing you down. It's just getting you down, and you're not sure what to do about it. You can speak to these things. You can speak to your situation and say, you know what? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us love and power and of a sound mind. And you know what? He will not forsake his children. He will never forsake the righteous. I have never gone hungry. Yeah, we've gone through some hard times, plenty of hard times. But we've never gone hungry. God has always been able to provide for us. So I will not allow this mountain to be on top of me. I will speak to it and say, be gone, be cast into the sea. That is not what I'm going to allow to happen in my life. And what about a sense of hopelessness about my future? I don't know. I'm talking too fast. A sense of hopelessness about the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I am afraid and I am terrified. Listen, the Word of God says that the Lord directs the steps of a righteous man, and he delights in all of his ways. God will direct your steps. There doesn't need to be this sense of hopelessness in your life, because God says that we have hope, the hope that is in Christ Jesus, because I am now in him. I can speak to these things. I don't need to go pray and say, God, would you give me some hope, please? Would you give me some provision, please? Would you give me some peace, please? That's ridiculous. You know what that's like? That's like you wrote me a check for $10,000. $10,000. You wrote me a check for $10,000. You wrote it, you signed it, it's in my name, and you gave it to me. And I'm holding on to this check. And every once in a while, I come back and I say, you know what? Can I have $5? Can I have $2? He just gave me a check for $10,000. Can I have $3, please? I'm really, really hungry. That's what we do with God when we say, give me some peace, give me some provision, give me some joy, give me some hope, give me. I don't need to do any of that, because he says, listen, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and we are now seated with him in heavenly places. All of these things have been freely given to you. All you and I need to do is claim it by faith and say, God, you gave this to me. I am speaking to that mountain, and I'm saying, I am claiming this over my life. I'm not going to come beg you for what you already gave to me. I'm simply going to claim and hold on to what already belongs to me in my life. Have faith in God. And you know, you and I can ask God to fill our hearts with faith. Say, God, give me the faith to believe you for this today, because the truth is I don't. The truth is I don't believe that you really love me. The truth is I don't believe that you really provided for me. The truth is I don't believe that I'm really your child. The truth is I don't really believe that you want to heal my body. The truth is I really don't think that you want to fix my financial situation or my relational situation. I don't think you want to do any of these things. Would you give me the faith to believe that you are a good God, that you are a holy God, that you are a righteous God, that you are a giving God, and that you are a loving God, and you want to freely give me all things because I am your child? And that's the kind of faith, that's the kind of prayer that we need to pray today. Say, God, give me this kind of faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And begin speaking to the mountain directly and specifically. Sure, there are those things that I need to wait on God for. Absolutely. But there are other things that I need to speak out loud and so I can hear myself say them. So I can hear myself say them. Mountains, 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 mountains. He was 40 years old. He was 40 years old, wandering in the desert under Moses for 40 years. The 40 years are now up, and he's the only one that had faith along with a young man named Joshua. And they are now 85 years old. Joshua's the captain. They still haven't obtained their inheritance. This young man named Caleb, young man of 85, this young man named Caleb, he approaches Joshua and he says, Joshua, we were 40 years old when God gave us that mountain. And the people didn't believe. We wandered for 40 years. But do you know that God's promise is still good today as it was back then? You know what he said? He said, Joshua, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. I want that mountain. That mountain is filled with giants. I'm 85 years old. I want that mountain. God said, I want that mountain. That's my inheritance. That's my inheritance. That's where I find the reason for my existence, is to go and possess what God gave me to possess. Listen, aren't you tired of being a nominal Christian? Aren't you tired of just going through the motions and not obtaining the things that God has for you? This man went up and he took that mountain and he cast out those giants and he gave that land as an inheritance to his children. And it says not only did he have the upper springs, meaning the springs of water, but he also had the lower springs. Listen, God will bless you with both the upper springs and the lower springs. That means springs from heaven and springs down from earth. The blessings of heaven and the blessings of earth. God wants to give you all of it. But you have to say to yourself, to the captain of the guard, give me that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain of obstacles, and I will speak to that mountain and I will claim what rightfully belongs to me. What belongs to you today? What belongs to you today? The peace of God belongs to you. Your unsaved family members, they belong to you. He says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. I'm asking. I have plenty of unsaved people in my family. Plenty. Aunts and uncles and cousins, and I have all kinds of crazy folk. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And we can claim that. We can claim that. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain in faith, believing God. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord first, and then I'm speaking to the mountain second. But what's the obstacle of faith? Our third and final point. What is the obstacle of faith? What are some of the obstacles of faith? Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. You stand and you pray, and now you're speaking to your mountain, and your mountain don't move. I told those mountains to move. I prayed. I even fasted. Imagine that. I fasted and I prayed and I had faith and I spoke to it like the man told me to do, and nothing is happening. What's an obstacle to faith? If you stand praying and there you have unforgiveness towards your brother, you need to go and forgive your brother so that your Father can also forgive you. So Jesus here links faith to move mountains with forgiveness. Why? Because I will continue to need forgiveness from God myself. And I will not be able to enjoy the forgiveness that God has for me on a continual, regular basis because I continually blow it. Or am I the only one? Apparently I'm the only one in this church this morning. That's okay. That's all right. Honesty begins here, I guess. I'll pray for everyone else. I need God's continual forgiveness on my life. And for me to be able to receive God's continual forgiveness on my life, I need to be able to forgive and release other people. And do this on a regular basis. Why? because it's a continuous channel. It's a continuous flow. I receive God's forgiveness and I forgive other people. Jesus used a story explaining this concept to Peter. And he says, Peter, a certain man owed a king 10,000 talents and he could not pay him. And the king was going to throw him into prison. And the man came and begged the king. He says, please have mercy on me. And the king had compassion on the man and he forgave him his debt completely. 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money back then. That man who was forgiven turned around and found one of his companions, his friends, who owed him only 100 denarii. I mean, a very, very small amount of money compared to the 10,000 talents that he... And he took that friend, he says, pay me what you owe me. The friend said, okay, give me some time and I'll pay you. He took him by the neck, he threw him into prison until he can pay the very last penny. The king heard about this and called him into his chambers and he says, what is this I hear about you and your friend? Didn't I forgive you 10,000 talents? Why couldn't you forgive your friend the 100 denarii? It's a very small amount. And that was the picture, the illustration that Jesus used with us to explain to us, listen, when God forgave us, He forgave us so, so much. He forgave us an incredible amount. We don't have any idea how much forgave us, how much God forgave us of our sins. The least that we can do is extend that same forgiveness to other people. But also because a person who does not love and will not forgive cannot be entrusted with that kind of power to move mountains. Because faith is motivated by love. I am not able to speak to my mountain unless I have faith. And faith is fueled by love. Love of God and love for other people. Galatians 5 and 6 says, faith expresses itself through love. Faith expresses itself through love. And so since love is the foundation for faith, unforgiveness is going to short circuit that faith. If I'm holding on to something that someone did for me and people have hurt me, just like people have hurt you. People have hurt you, yes? If you're human, people have hurt you. If no one's hurt you, we need to talk after service. Someone has offended you at one point or another in your life, and so we need to extend that same forgiveness to them because the two cannot work together. I cannot work in faith and unforgiveness at the same time. The two simply will not work. Colossians 3 and 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Just as Christ has forgiven you, so you need to forgive those individuals. And as I choose to receive God's love and forgiveness, I must extend that same forgiveness to me. And the story is also in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 12, I believe it is, where Moses has a brother and a sister, Aaron and Miriam. Well, after leaving Egypt for a while, Aaron and Miriam says, they're having a private conversation, just the two of them. And they say, did God only speak through Moses? Does God only speak to Moses? Is Moses the only special one that's here? I mean, that's not very, very offensive, is it? I mean, it's a little offensive, but it's not like, you know, they were bashing their preacher or anything. It wasn't like that. But the Bible says, and the Lord heard them. The Lord heard them. The Lord called them out. He says, Moses, I want you and Aaron and Miriam to come and meet with me in the tent. I have something to say to the three of you. And something happened there to Miriam. The Bible says that leprosy broke out on her forehead. Leprosy broke out because she spoke against the Lord's anointed. So be careful. No, I'm kidding. Leprosy broke out. Leprosy broke out as she was standing there. And the Lord told Moses to pray for her. She just talked about you. How could you pray for her? Personally, I think it's because when he saw the leprosy, he had a touch of compassion. Because earlier on, some time ago, the Lord said to him, take your hand and stick it into your bosom and take it out. And when it came out, it was leprous all over. And then he stuck it back in and the Lord healed him completely. So when he saw the leprosy in himself and then he saw the leprosy on his sister, He was able to identify, you're not any worse than I am. I'm not any worse than you are. We're all the same. I can make these same mistakes just like you. I'm choosing to forgive you. And he prays for her, and the Lord heals her. Why do we forgive? Because we've all sinned. There's no one that's better than another. I was reading one commentary that says the root of all unforgiveness is pride. The root of all unforgiveness is pride. I'm refusing to forgive because how could they offend me? How could you offend me? Don't you know who I am? How dare you treat me like that? You better recognize. Don't you understand? And the root of it is pride. And it takes a humble heart to recognize that the sin that's in your life and the sin that I'm hating in your life that's so bad is just a simple reflection of the sin that's already in my life, but I can't see it. Because I can't see my own mistakes, most of them. I can see some of them, but I can't see most of them. They're blind to me. They're called blind spots. We all have them. But I can recognize my sin in you when you sin. When you sin, girl. When you mess things up. And I get angry? What am I really, really getting angry at? I'm getting angry at myself because I am noticing the sin that's really in me, but I can't recognize it in me up front, so I am going off berserk on her. But it's really an indication that something else is going on in here. So it takes a humble heart that says, God, have mercy on me. Help me to receive your love. Help me to receive your forgiveness. So that I can extend that same love and forgiveness to my brother and sister. It's at that point that I can now speak to that mountain because I'm putting my faith in God and say, be removed and be cast into the sea. And whatever I say, if I don't doubt, it will be moved. Allow me to be sincere and honest with you this morning. I would love to experience this year. I would love to experience seeing mountains being removed. Oh, not mountains being removed in my favor so that I can live in a bigger house and drive a nicer car and wear nicer clothes. Not though, because you see a lot of that on TV today. Right? Drive a bigger car and that's just a bunch of... Anyway, we want the truth of God to move real mountains out of our lives to allow the kingdom of God to come on this earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven and watch your kingdom grow. Watch the kingdom of God grow. Why? Why? Because we are the hands and the feet of Lord Jesus here on this earth. And as he was moving mountains, not literal physical mountains, but he was moving all kinds of mountains when he was here. And we need to do the same. We can do the same. Wait, but Jesus was talking to Peter and to James and to John and to Bartholomew and to those weak guys. Oh, they're weak right now. But they're about to go into a 10-day incubation period. Where they're going to wait for me. They're in Jerusalem. And they will be endued with power from on high. And once they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're in Acts chapter 2, they will be transformed. And because they're transformed, they will transform the world that's around them. How many want to see that happen in this church, in this neighborhood? I'm praying that God will do that with us here and around us here. Because the truth is, we're not there. Is it okay to be honest in this church? The truth is, all of this is just words on a page, still. But do you know what's going to move it from words on a page to reality? Faith. Faith in God. Have faith in God. Give me the mountain. Pray with me. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. Our faith, my friends, cannot be in ourselves, our own abilities, and our faith cannot be in wishful thinking and expectation. Our faith has to be in God alone. Do you have faith and faith in God alone today? Do you have faith in the Omnipotent One? The one who created the heavens and the earth, you have faith in him. Do you have faith in the one that can calm the storms of life? Do you have the one that can walk on top of the ocean waves in the middle of a storm? Do you have faith in that one? Do you have faith in Him? Have faith in God. Is He permeating every area of your life, or is He a distant God? Today, He wants to be a live-in God. He wants to come live close. He wants to be tender. He wants to be intimate with you and with me. And like Abraham, Abraham walked with God, and Abraham believed God, and He was counted to him for righteousness because he simply believed God. God is calling us to have faith in Him today. Refusing ourselves. I can't put faith in myself. I cannot stand based on what I do. I don't stand here because of my own goodness or my own righteousness. If that was the case, my friends, I don't deserve to stand up here. I don't deserve to stand up here. None of us do. None of us deserve to even hold the word of God if it's based on our own righteousness. But we come to stand on a foreign righteousness, a righteousness that was given to us, based on the precious blood of the Lamb of God who shed His life on our behalf and traded us His perfect life for our sinless life, for our sinful life. And He gave us His perfection for our sin. And He causes us to stand clean and holy and pure before Him today. I stand in faith on that and on that alone. Lord, we just acknowledge Your Lordship in this place. We acknowledge that You are God, that You are good, that You are faithful, that You're kind, that You are the rock, that You are the good shepherd, that You're a loving Father. We acknowledge You. We acknowledge You. And we ask that You would increase our faith. Cause us to believe Your words. Cause us to believe Your promises. That when You say, I have redeemed You, that we understand what that means. That when You wrote out that check, that we can take it to the bank by faith and cash it in and begin to live in peace. And begin to have that joy. The joy like the Apostle Paul, who's sitting in prison, but he had joy. And he writes to the church, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How? Because he had faith in You. We rest in You today. We rest in Your finished work today. God, I pray that You would forgive us our sins. We have been faithless as a church. We have been faithless. But You are faithful, and the word declares You cannot deny Yourself because You are good. You are kind and You are forgiving. You are redeeming, and Your promises that were true 40 years ago are still true today. The mountain still belongs. The inheritance still belongs. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Father. The Apostle Paul said this pertaining to the Lord's body, which we're going to take here in a moment. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And what that basically means, my friends, is if you're living in sin, if you're choosing to continue in that sin, if the Lord Jesus is not Lord of your life, then please do not stand with us and partake this, because you will be eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. But if the Lord is Lord over your life, and if you are confessing your sin before God and asking for mercy and forgiveness over your life, then you are called on, extended an invitation to by the Lord Himself, saying, do this as often as you meet in remembrance of Me. Because I want you to remember what it cost Me for you to be where you are today. And I want you to understand that it was the price that Jesus paid on the cross. It was his broken body and it was his shed blood that we can gather together. It was his perfect sacrifice that gives us access to God. And it was that same perfect sacrifice that gives us the ticket to eternal heaven with him forever and ever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We need to remember this on a regular basis. And so what a great way to start off the first service of the year by doing this together. If you'd like to partake with us of the elements, would you please rise?